Thanks, Wrigley, for reading the passage. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this morning into your mighty hands, O Lord, as we come into your time, as we listen to your word, we pray the Lord will minister to us, speak to us. Lord, as we sit here and listen to your word, we pray the Lord will open our hearts to receive your word, encourage us, refresh our spirits, and lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 26. Many people would have read this before, the story, many times. It's about Peter and John healing the crippled man who's been sitting there in front of this gate called Beautiful. For the last few weeks, Lenny's been preaching on Book of Acts. When you come to Book of Acts, one of the very important things is, as we read the first chapter, verse 1 and 2, it talks about, as Luke writes to Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles he had chosen. So he's writing to Theophilus saying that the former book is about what Jesus was doing and teaching when he was on this earth, and now the same thing is happening after he ascended to heaven. He's still continuing to do and to continue to teach through his apostles. And then as we see that, in the second chapter we saw Lenny was preaching on how the Holy Spirit came upon the people as they waited upon according to what Jesus asked them to do. And then there was an opportunity for Peter to stand up and preach to the crowd. Because the people were thinking, oh, these people are crazy and they're mocking at them. But Peter said, no. This is the work of the Lord and the promise is being fulfilled here. And he preached to the people who were sitting there and listening and laughing. 3,000 people gave their life. They were cut through the heart. They gave their life. And we saw last week, the end of the last chapter, chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. At the end, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So God has been adding these people to this early church. And they were devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles in loving, in a living worship and a loving fellowship, in sharing everything what they had generously to each other, and in prayer, they kept meeting and worshiping the Lord. And here, the very important thing on the 40, verse 43 in the last chapter is, God was doing many wonders and miraculous signs by the apostles. And you've been thinking, what were the signs? What were the wonders? So when you pause, the next chapter talks about, here is a man who was crippled from his birth for 40 years, being healed by Peter and John. So we see this, and Luke takes time to explain this healing to us. There are many wonders, many miraculous signs, but he chooses to choose this particular one to explain it to us. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon, the ninth hour. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. See, as I want to bring this, I just want to bring two important points here. One is occasion. Peter and John just going to the temple to pray at 3 p.m. in the afternoon or evening. But God is doing something extraordinary in their ordinary life. And that occasion gives them an opportunity for them to exalt the name of Jesus and exhort people to repent and receive the blessing that awaits them. So the occasion, which is the miracle, and brings an opportunity to share the gospel to the people who are astonished by this miracle. So as we look at this occasion, just like Luke is not mentioning which day, when, all he's saying is one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. There's a very interesting point. One of the commentators says, like, why the ninth hour? In John's gospel, it says, in the ninth hour, Jesus said, it is finished, and gave his life. It's not what Luke talking about, but one of the commentators says that, you know, John and Peter, as an apostle, know very clearly, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for us. So there's no more of sacrifice in the temple. The only reason they're going there to pray is remembering what Jesus has done for them. So as they're going to the temple, they're coming to a place called Beautiful Gate. This gate is one of 75 feet tall, double door, tall one, with the artifact of a beautiful design from the Corinthian brass. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, says it is excel that those better than the gold and silver. There are many gates that are gold and silver, but this one is exceed all of them. It's so beautiful. As he's talking about this beautiful gate, which is so big, where people enter every day to pray and come out, Luke says, right in front of this, here is a man, crippled for 40 years, begging. So beautiful, and here is a man, so poor, in front of this gate, begging for alms. The Jewish custom, in the custom in the ancient culture, even today in modern, where they believe that, you know, through their righteousness, they receive salvation. Through their work, they receive salvation. So they think by giving alms to poor people will bring blessing into their life. So see a beggar there, hey, this man, it says he's been, from birth he's been crippled. Imagine a mother having a child. What baby is this? Boy or a girl? Boy, but this baby is crippled. And this child growing up, the family or the friends bringing him every day to the temple, putting him there, and he's begging there. I don't know whether he was expecting something like this to happen, but God has something planned for him on that day. As Peter and John passes by, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. He says, look at us. And this man would have thought, okay, here is a man who's going to give me something. And right after that, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Imagine the disappointment in the eyes of that man when he hears this. You ask me to look at you, and I give my attention thinking it's not going to be a coin, maybe it's a bigger bill that you're going to drop in my bag. But then he says, silver or gold I do not have. But right after that he says this, but what I have I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Amen.
So this man As he was healed, the beauty about Peter is he lifted him up. He didn't just, wait, let me see what happened, because he was prompted by the Holy Spirit. It is not new for Peter, because we see in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sending the disciples two by two into the villages and the towns nearby to preach the gospel, to deliver people from demonic oppression and heal people from disease and sicknesses. So it is not new for him. But what is new is that Jesus ascended to heaven, working from there in his life. And in his name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this man is healed. And the faith that comes through Jesus. One of the commentators says, it was Christ's power, but Peter's hands. It was Christ's power, but Peter's hands. It is not unbelief that he lifted him, but love. It is not only the power of God at work through Peter's life, but also the grace and compassion of Jesus is working through the life of Peter in the man's life. Now, time we look into the power, we forget about God's compassionate love. Sometimes we focus too much about the love, we forget about the power of God is at work all the time. Our God is alive and he's still working in the lives of people. Amen?
Amen.
God is still alive and he's still working in the lives of people. All we need to do is come with a heart of expectation and you will receive it. What a miraculous story. Amen? But Peter doesn't stop there. He sees this opportunity that God has given him. He's not letting, okay, you can go and share the testimony, what you have experienced and leave it there. No, he says, here is a wonderful opportunity. By prompting of the Holy Spirit, he shares the gospel to those people who are astonished by the miraculous sign. See, God gives you an occasion and he does something extraordinary. But don't leave it there. He also gives you an opportunity to teach God's word or share the gospel to the people and take hold of that. The one whose power is at work in the life of Peter is also with us. He's healing people. He's working in the lives of people. And he, in that opportunity, what he's doing two important things. One is exaltation. He's exalting the name of Jesus. He is not directing all this fame towards himself. He's redirecting it to Jesus. Because the biggest problem in today's generation in many places is this. We think it's because of our strength. No, it is because of his strength. And we are just an instrument in the Redeemer's hand. Amen?
Amen.
And God is working to the lives of people. So he's very careful there, Peter. Why are you surprised? He asks us two questions. Why are you surprised? Do you think it has been done with our own power, with our own godliness? Because for Jewish people, it's all about godliness. It's all about works. No, it's not by our works. It's work of Jesus Christ and through his power. It always goes back to Jesus. The miracle itself is not important. What the miracle attests is more important. What this deed attests is God's word and his promises being fulfilled. Because the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6, the lame will leap like a deer. And here you see this man jumping and walking and praising God. Why Luke has to mention that? Because he's alluding to Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled here. When Christ comes, when God comes, the lame will leap for joy like a deer. Let's not forget that. And here people are astonished, and he asks this question, why are you surprised? His worry is that you should be knowing this. You're reading scripture day and night, and you should know this. It is not our work, it is work of the Lord. And he helps people to, you know, he's building the bridge for them to make them understand. He's not being harsh on them in helping people to understand. Let your focus be on Jesus. And he says this. He goes on to say, verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witness of this. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, this crippled man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." That's amazing, isn't it? He's saying, brothers, you need to understand, men of Israel, our fathers, a God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, glorified his servant, Jesus. He's not mentioning as a king here. He's not like the previous chapter as we're speaking, he was talking about Lord and Savior. He's not saying that. He's saying his servant, his child, going back to Isaiah, the servant who will be glorified, that is Jesus Christ. Our fathers have spoken about this. If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter, 52. Let me read it. Verse 13. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 and 14. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. My servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." And here people are astonished. Jesus' name being glorified. And he says, "You killed him." He was very direct to them. I don't know whether we could preach like that today, but here he's preaching to his people, the Jewish people. "You killed him. The Holy and Righteous One." You know, Holy and Righteous One is the word keep repeated in the Old Testament only to God, the God of Covenant, the God of Israel. And he's saying that you kill the God who come to you. And he says later, "You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer, Barabbas, to be released in his place. You killed the author of life. He's the giver of life, and you killed him." We are the witnesses. God raised him from the dead. So one of the things, beautiful thing which came to me as I was reading this, this man was completely healed. In a Greek translation, I don't want to use a Greek word, but the Greek translation word is perfectly sound. And that word perfectly sound, who is restored back to complete healing, which is perfectly sound, is used only in this passage, in this place, which comes in Isaiah and Zechariah and a few other places in Old Testament, but in New Testament only in this place. That word renders in Old Testament only for unblemished animal. When you bring a sacrifice to the temple, you bring an unblemished, without any blemish, animal to the sacrifice. So how does Luke is trying to bring that here? Because he's a doctor. Seeing this healing, he's giving a report about everything was restored perfectly well and this man is perfectly sound. What does he mean? That God took this crippled man who was blemished, who was not allowed to enter the temple to sacrifice because he's considered as a sinner in birth. God has restored him into unblemished so that he can enter the courts of temple and praise God. Amen?
Amen.
God has done the same thing in our life, isn't it? We are filled with so many blemishes, so many marks, so many hurts, so many that pulling us from behind. But Jesus has wiped all of that and made us unblemished so that we can enter into the courts of temple and praise God and worship Him. And he focuses on Jesus and in his name. And he exalts him. And then he says, the exhortation, he asks them to repent of their sins and receive the blessing that has been promised to them. And what are those? As we read verse 17. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ will suffer. You acted in ignorance. In Numbers, when you look at the law, there are consequences for the sins which you acted in ignorance. There are consequences for sins that you acted with the knowledge of what you are doing. But here, Peter is saying, you acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you are doing. You killed the author of life. But you know what? The focus is about God raised him. God fulfilled what he had foretold to all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Through his suffering, we receive salvation. Amen?
Amen.
When you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Amen? We thought, out of our ignorance, we are killing the author of life. But God had a plan, you know what? Through his son, to give us a new life. God's plan accomplished. This one reminds me of Genesis chapter 50, where when Jacob dies in Egypt, his brothers comes to Joseph because he's a powerful man on Egypt who provided for them, protected them. They're worried he's going to avenge them because they've done so many nasty things to Joseph. They come to him, verse 20 says in Genesis 50, 20, they come to him and cries and say, please do not kill us because our father has died now. And Joseph looks at them and says, am I in the place of God? And the next verse is so important in verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. What a beautiful way. They intended to kill him. They threw him in the well. They sold him. He became a slave. He went to the prison. He went through so much because of his own brothers trying to kill him. And he says that, you intended evil, but God intended for good, so Israel will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
though Jesus tried to kill Jesus, but God's plan is to save the very people who try to kill him. It's not just applies to the Jewish people, it applies to us as well. Amen? Amen. Because the later part of Acts, Luke also covers, it's not just Jews. There are Romans involved in it. There are others involved in it. It applies to us as well. He died for us. He given us a new life. When we look back at our old life, where we come from, I'm telling you, our tears will well up our eyes. But when you look up what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that should astonish us. That should make us to come in awe and praise him. Just like that man jumping and praising and walking, we should be doing that every day when we look at Jesus for what he has done for us. The problem here is they're not recognizing their sins, and here Peter helping them to acknowledge it and to repent of their sins. And he's saying, when you repent, there are blessings that flows out of it, which has been promised to you. I'm going to keep it simple there. He says that, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The first blessing, what points out here, Peter points out, is your sins will be wiped out. When you repent and turn to God, that your sins will be wiped out. One of the beautiful examples, some of the commentators say, is this. In those days, when you write on the papyrus or the parchment, the ink doesn't have acid in it like today. It doesn't catch on to the papyrus. So when you write and leave it, after some time, when you take a wipe or something to wipe it, some cloth or something to wipe it, it will come off. It will not stick to the papyrus. You will not see even a mark of it on that paper. And Jesus is going to wipe out all your sin just like that. There's not going to be a mark of it, because Jesus is going to wipe out. Your sins will be wiped out and you'll be forgiven. When you repent and turn around, here is a blessing. You receive God's forgiveness. And it doesn't stay there. The next one he says, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. A time of refreshing. You know, the refreshing is a word which goes with the rest. He refreshes your spirit. He doesn't leave you by forgiving and, you know, just go and do life by yourself. He's going to refresh your spirit. And he's going to restore everything in the days to come. But as it comes to you today, he's going to refresh your spirit. And he goes on to say that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, Jesus, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. There is a promised judgment when you don't listen. Because there are times where people are so happy, even after seeing the light revealed to them, to stick to their own sinful life. John talks about the light came to them, but they were happy to live in the darkness. They do not want to receive light. You repent and turn around, you receive the blessing. Your sins are wiped. You're forgiven. Your soul is, your spirit is refreshed, and God says he's going to restore it all. And he says, as Moses says that, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, which is here we could see that Jesus Christ is really pointing out. You must listen to everything he tells you. But when you do not listen to him, anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. As he speaks to the Jewish people who understand the context of it, as it comes to us, the promises that has been given to us in the scripture, you receive it. But when you knowingly ignore it, you come under the judgment of God. And the last one is, indeed all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. You know, the prophetic ministry started from Samuel to many others. And Samuel is the one who ordained Davidic kingdom. It's so important for the Jewish people. They're saying, they have foretold these days, the days that the Lord, what he's going to do through his son, through his servant. And these are the days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, he said to Abraham. Through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. See, in Genesis 12, you see this blessing, the foundational promise which has been given to the Jewish people through their father, Abraham. Through your seed, all nations will be blessed. It's not saying offsprings, seed in plural. It talks about seed, offspring in singular. It's not about Isaac, it's not about Jacob or the Israelites. It's Jesus. Through him, the nations will be blessed. And how he's going to bless us? The following verse says, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And from wicked ways into what kind of way? Into righteousness. When Jesus blesses you, it's going to make you righteous so that you can enter into the holiness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Your sins are wiped. Your spirit is refreshed. You're not under the judgment as those who reject Jesus. In the end, you're made righteousness. You're made righteous in the presence of God when you repent and turn around. Amen?
Amen.
There is an occasion, there is an opportunity, and Peter took hold of that to preach and exalt the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him. There are a few questions that come to our hearts. What are those who are not being healed? The Bible says, in the days to come, they'll be restored to their perfection in the resurrection. Some of them are healed today, some of them in the days to come. Only God knows it. So even when you look at this crippled man, he was crippled from birth. 40 years, that's what the next chapter talks about, verse chapter 4, verse 22. He was crippled for 40 years. And is begging every day in the entrance of the temple. Just a few months ago, Jesus ascended to heaven. Have you ever thought about it? Just speculatively speaking there. Jesus came and preached in Jerusalem many times. Do you think Jesus would have not seen this man? But Jesus had planned for him. He will be healed later. Everything that happens is for his glory. Everything that happens is according to his purpose. Everything that happens is according to his perfect will. And everything that happens is according to his timing. Amen?
Amen.
Some of them are immediate. Some of them are later. Or some of them are in the days to come. In his resurrection. God will restore all things. But that should not stop us to come to Jesus with expectant heart. When I come to church every day morning, when I wake up every day, I come to God with expectant heart. God, it's not that if he doesn't come with expectant heart, God is not going to do anything to you. He's a loving father. But when you come with an expectant heart, somewhere, it's different. It's different. So come with an expectant heart. There are places where churches are filled with silver and gold, but not every church is filled with the power of God. And today's challenge for all of us is, as a church, who we are. Is this church is going to be a church? See, important things, just say silver and gold, all these are important things. The resources are important. It's not something in this world we need all this. But what is more important is faith in the name of Jesus. The power of Jesus is actively at work in the church. You can have silver and gold. If you do not have Jesus and His power at work in the church, there is something wrong. There is something wrong. And we can say that God is doing something in our congregation. Amen? We are witnesses that God is doing something in our midst. Come with the heart of expectancy, but do not forget, when God gives an occasion in the normal days, He is ready to do extraordinary things. Take that opportunity and share the gospel by the strength that God gives, by the power that comes through Him, to the faith that comes in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into Your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we were once enemies of God, O Lord. But through Your Son, You redeemed us. You washed us through His blood and saved our life, O Lord, and given us new life, the life that He lives is given to us, the death we supposed to die on the cross, He's taken upon Him. But Lord, You had a great plan for us. Through Your Son, You've given us life. You refreshed our spirit. You've forgiven our sins, and You made us righteous in Your presence. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful, wonderful life that You have given and the miracle of Jesus in our life, O Father. We were once crippled, but today we are jumping and walking and praising God. Lord, help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to praise You every day and live for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Alex. Let's stand and sing our final song together, How Deep.